WBUR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace. When I stand here taking every breath with you. Ooh. You're the only one who really knew me at all.
One second here. Keep playing Phil Collins Against All Odds. Got to finish something here quickly before we get to the Bernie and Sid show. Hold on. Give me one second here, Bernard. Stop rushing me. Hold on.
Take your time, bro.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Take your time.
I just finished my really, really inspirational and beautiful, tear-jerking Instagram post. Because I have to, because everybody else is doing it, white, black, mostly white. Over the tragic, and I mean tragic, death of a guy that really embodied good, DMX.
Why you gotta be like that, bro?
Oh, come on.
Why you gotta be like
come
that?
Come on.
Listen, I
he
went
He was
to...
a bad, bad, bad guy. I mean,
actually
a bad
went,
guy.
I actually went to a vigil for him up in my second hometown of Yonkers.
I'm sure you did. It just
he was
gets.
He was a poet, man. He was a lyricist.
He was garbage.
Listen,
he was. I know he just died and all that stuff, but here's a guy that impregnated women all over the place, denied it, didn't pay a penny
so
of child support.
So he had 15 kids.
Right.
So what?
Here's a guy that killed more dogs than Michael Vick ever killed. You cannot be okay with that. Never went to prison for that. Carjackings, violent crimes. And at no point in his life, by the way, did he become a decent guy. You know, some people go through 30, 35 years of that type of stuff and they come around. This guy, to the very end, God rest his soul, he died at the age of 50, was a bad guy. And the amount of crying and tributes, and again, white people
Listen,
bending over backwards, it's nauseating.
In addition to some of the songs you might be familiar with, there was one that was really, it was a classic, and it was entitled, What These Bitches Want.
What These Bitches
and you
Want.
And you never heard that?
Oh, stop. Of course
Come
not.
Come on, man.
Come on.
And then the lyrics like, yo, your ass is about to go missing. You know who going to find you? Some old man fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic.
Oh, I understand. I get it. Yeah.
Grandma wishing your soul at rest, but that's hard to digest with the size of the hole in your chest.
Yeah, I mean,
come on. Those are classics.
Some of these guys... you know, sing about this stuff and don't necessarily, just some, because a lot of them actually do, but some sing about this stuff and don't live that life.
Bro,
this guy.
No, he honestly, and that's the only thing that you could say good about him, really, in this case, is that this is the only life he knew, and that's what he talked about. That's what he sang about. He wasn't a phony like some of these guys who grow up, in the suburbs, like Drake, for example.
Right.
And that's he talked about robbing liquor stores, shootout with cops,
I mean,
shooting out. I swear to God.
No, I know.
It's actually mind-boggling, but some of it was entertaining, like up in here, whatever.
Yeah, fine. I like that song, but
the way that the local news, you're absolutely 1,000% correct.
I'm not even talking about the local news. I mean, I spend a lot of my time, unlike you, on social media. So I went through 9 million Instagram tributes, and again, it was white people. You know, Michael Rapaport and Chris Mamano, all these white.
All these idiot
yes.
panderers.
Right.
They
said less about Prince Philip and this guy that Frank Morano just told us about, some World War II hero that died last week at 99 years old. You can't find an Instagram post on that guy, but people were crying over this lowlife DMX.
Well, let me finish about the local news. They treat him like the reincarnation of a cross between Aretha Franklin and Martin Luther King. It's unbelievable. They lead the news with it for like 5 minutes.
I know.
And with all these tributes and, you know, some fat white lady came down from Tarrytown to lay flowers. Man, he was so inspirational. Well, I mean, come
what
on.
What was inspirational about him? I don't get it.
What these bitches want.
Right. He sang about beating up people and was nasty to women and nasty to cops. Ended up dying of a drug overdose at 50. Never turned his life around. What was so inspirational about DMX?
Yo, he came up to my barber shop, man. He sat down and he was like, he kept it real. He was like, yo, what's up? You know what I'm saying? He handed out $20 bills to kids and whatnot. You know, what's up? It was like that. He was real like that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Cut to the reporter and the lady placing flowers at the vigil. I mean, that's what you got all weekend long.
I know. It made me nauseous. So we had to start with that on this Monday morning because even though we've got a $2 trillion infrastructure plan, which is nonsense to talk about, and Miranda Devine's column today and Kamala Harris, which is excellent to talk about today, and all that good political stuff, had to start with that because I can't believe how we continue in this country to honor the worst of the worst. We ignore the best of the best, and we honor the worst of the worst. And when you guys say to me, Sid, who are you to talk? Listen, folks, like I said this morning, if you want to write bad stuff about me on my Instagram page when I die, go at it. Yeah, I was an addict. I went to rehab. I went to jail a couple of times. I never hit a woman, not in my life. I never impregnated other women. I don't have children with other women. I haven't done any of the nasty stuff this guy did. But if you want to compare me to him, that's fine. Just understand I don't care, but I am sick and tired of us honoring the worst of the worst.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they really, really overdid it over the weekend with DMX, who, you know, I mean, it was worth a mention, it was worth a story, but it wasn't worth the day after day after day's worth of coverage and tributes, by the way. And without saying that, yeah, look, you had a 12-year-old boy shot over the weekend in New York City. You had a 1-year-old kid who was shot in the head in Chicago, in the inner cities. And it's partially because of music that he puts out, perpetuating this thug gun life that we have right now. It's partially in response to glamorizing that type of stuff.
That actually came out a lot after our incident, the whole Rutgers thing with Don Imus, about how about Al Sharpton and that community taking some responsibility for some of this stuff with the music that is out there every day. And DMX was absolutely one of the worst when it came to that.
And look, if you can detach yourself from it and just listen to it like I did, and I got a laugh out of it. I didn't emulate it, but a lot of people emulate that stuff. And that's the problem.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Off to a great start already on this Monday morning, which Larry, Miranda Devine, and others going to stop by today. Sounds very presidential, this music. Any reason, any significance behind this?
No. Monday morning?
Monday morning.
We salute that 100-year-old veteran who...
I think it was 99. Oh, the 100-year-old died this weekend.
Yes, right, yes. He was a part of the D-Day invasion.
Yes, he was.
And he was very, very alert in the interviews that he just did recently.
We lost two guys, a 99-year-old 2 weeks ago and a 100-year-old yesterday. Those are real heroes, not that low-life DMX. But if you guys want to go out there and write all your Instagram posts and tell me how much you love them, well, you go ahead. You go. You're inspired by somebody who spits on women, spits on police, doesn't care about any real societal rules, and just made a bunch of money by writing relatively lousy music and doing a bunch of drugs. And congratulations.
Squandered it all.
Yeah.
There was no redeeming social value. Look, the guy died. He deserved a story or two, whatever the hell. He did make a lot of money, but, I mean, this canonization is what to say it's way over the top is an understatement, actually. It's actually more, it's damaging than anything else.
We're sick of it. Bernie and Sid, we are sick of it. We started today's show with it. It was a weekend of garbage. Hey, this is my favorite story of the day. You ready for this, Bernard?
I'm always ready, bro.
Anthony Fauci. You love Anthony Fauci.
You know it. He's my guy. Dr. Fauci saved the world, saved the globe.
Yeah, yeah. Here is the...
Came up with that vaccine. the Fauci vaccine, we call it.
Is he still taking credit for that?
Well, he hasn't retracted taking credit for it, so I would imagine, yeah.
All right, well, here's the headline of this column, which has me almost aroused early on a Monday morning. It reads, Fauci not sure. Say that again. Just say that for me, Bernie.
Fauci not sure.
Did you ever think you'd hear the day where Anthony Fauci, about anything, said he wasn't sure?
But that's somebody characterizing his
words.
That's
true, yes. No, he said that.
Well, what did he say? Give me the quote.
Fauci, not sure.
I don't think he said.
100% he said, I'm not sure. Here we go.
Okay.
Not sure why Texas doesn't have COVID uptick after getting rid of the masks. When he was asked, Anthony Fauci, on television, on Face the Nation, here's Fauci's response, quote, I'm not really quite sure. It could be they're doing stuff outdoors. Point is, Texas said no more masks like 4 weeks ago. No more. And there has been zero uptick in COVID cases. So maybe Sid Rosenberg and Bernie are not big jerks. Maybe we are sensitive to the cause. But maybe, just maybe, we're following the science and Anthony Fauci is not.
Listen, also the came out last week, there's little scientific support. The CDC, little scientific support for routine use of disinfectants in community settings. In other words, the virus does not it doesn't exist. It doesn't live on surfaces. All of that cleaning that we've been doing, this hand washing, even closing down the subways, it was all a waste of time, a complete and total waste of time. It's totally airbound. It's in the air. It's not on surfaces. You can't forget about it. Remember, we were worried about our Amazon packages. Oh my God, can I open this? Catch the virus.
Yeah.
All of it was wrong. Dr. Fauci was wrong about that. And of course, the social distancing now, it's down to 3 feet in schools. Wrong about that as well. That has no significant effect on how the virus is transmitted. So a lot of these fallacies that we were told were perpetuated by this little skunk right here, Dr. Fauci. And yeah, he's not sure. Texas, Joe Biden said that it was Neanderthal. It's not the kind of we don't need this Neanderthal thinking right now, is what he said about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Texas is going down. New York, Michigan leads the nation in coronavirus infection rates. And they have some of the harshest lockdowns ever. So, I mean, they're wrong about everything. And it's all coming out right now. And it's refreshing to see.
It's time to celebrate Governor Abbott in Texas and Governor DeSantis down in Florida. Let's stop with the hit pieces in the media, which they continue to do. Fact is, those guys have gotten it right. And the rest of us, like Bernie just explained very eloquently, have gotten it wrong from day one. Rich Lowry, Miranda Devine, Beat Bernie, Lydia Reports, a whole bunch of good stuff. And history in Augusta yesterday. History in Augusta yesterday. All that coming your way on the Monday edition of Bernie and Sid. Monday morning here on Bernie and Sid, and we are proud to say that we are not falling in line with everybody else. We are not going to honor and call DMX inspirational today. Instead, Roy Lambert, there's a lady named Jill Melle, I guess. She's like the only person out there, this according to a listener who just sent me this, who honored Ray Lambert, 100-year-old World War II D-Day veteran, decorated soldier. She's the only person who did anything on Instagram about this guy. Yet all you folks out there, a lot of you white people, you guilty white people, went out of your way to write these beautiful messages about DMX, who was a scumbag. That's our feelings on this Monday morning. Hey, happy Monday morning.
And rest in peace, by the way.
And rest in peace, absolutely.
Yes, happy Monday morning. It is a great morning.
It is.
Look, it's springtime and April showers. It's to be expected. I know it's depressing, need the rain. We need it. You're going to love May, bro. You're going to love May. Just remember that.
You're funny.
You're going to love it.
I'm going to love it?
Yes.
You promise?
I do promise.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we took a drive over the weekend, my family, Danielle, myself, and the kids. And the car bottomed out at one point on Saturday because we hit this huge pothole. And all of a sudden, I became more interested than ever in this new infrastructure deal that Joe Biden is going to meet with a bipartisan meeting today. But I can't believe Republicans are on board with this. I can't believe the Republicans are that stupid.
Well, they're not.
They're not on board.
Oh, absolutely
not.
Well,
that's not what Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden are claiming.
Well, they're liars.
Liars?
Oh, my God. And we don't have time now. We'll play it a little bit later. But Chris Wallace actually called out Little Sneaky Pete.
Yes.
I think you were out last week. I brought it up. Rich Lowry hadn't even heard of it. I mentioned it to him last Monday, which was that speaking about liars. And I wonder if Sneaky Pete did make the rounds yesterday, talking about this infrastructure bill. But I wonder if any of them brought up on the Sunday shows, because I don't watch them anymore. Maybe you got one of you guys in there watched it. You could tell me if anybody asked Sneaky Pete about this move that he pulled where he left the Department of Transportation in a fleet of SUVs, like two or three SUVs, and then about two blocks from the White House to go to this meeting about the infrastructure bill. He gets out of the SUV and they take a bike out of one of the SUVs. He puts a helmet on and rides the rest of the two blocks. To the White House for a photo op.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, to pretend like, oh, this is the way he traveled from the DOT building, and they busted him. It's all caught on videotape. Did Chris Wallace, these fake news Chris Wallace, or any of these creeps on the Sunday morning shows ask him about
that? Well, I can't bash Chris because Chris did go after him pretty good yesterday.
I can bash him.
But that's a good story. That's kind of like somebody who goes to a marathon and shows up like in the middle of the race and runs right in the middle of the pack.
He actually was compared to Rosie Ruiz. He was the Rosie Ruiz of the Biden administration.
There
yes,
you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So, yes, I wonder if anybody heard him being questioned. Tip us off, because I don't watch the Sunday morning shows anymore.
Neither do I.
I refuse to.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris Wallace called him out on the lies. He said it was 19 million jobs being created by this non-infrastructure plan. It's actually 2 million. That's a fact. He was busted, and Chris Wallace called him on it. So he's just a sneaky little weasel. We knew that from when he was claiming to be a war hero in Afghanistan.
Right,
he's a fake war hero. He's no better, really, than Donang Dick Blumenthal, except he was actually in Afghanistan in a safe spot for like about a month, one of those deals. Where I think he was A, a chauffeur, and B, he had a desk job.
Yeah. And you never know, the former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, what hat he's going to wear, because he's on MSNBC, he's on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. But he did come out yesterday, and he bashed Joe Biden. He said, Joe Biden is lying, folks. That $2 trillion, that's not about infrastructure.
And we don't,
that's about health care.
It's all about, as Bubblehead Senator Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted out, she said, infrastructure is child care. Infrastructure is health care. Infrastructure is reparations. Whatever they want it to be, that's what it's supposed to be. I hear anywhere from 6% to 25% of the bill is actual infrastructure. Roads, bridges, electrical grids.
I think $400 billion out of the $2 trillion.
Yeah, something like
that.
And everybody's for infrastructure. We're just not for this, all these add-ons that they have, which makes up 75% of the damn bill, at the very least 75%.
All right, John O'Halloran was not watching any of these Sunday morning shows either. He was hungover, and I'll tell you why. What epic event he watched on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Something that I used to watch when I was a kid. On Saturday mornings, I would watch a specific guy walk up and down the stairs for about 10 minutes. We'll get to all of that. We got a really good 3 hours about to come your way. Wednesday morning in studio. Her new book is out. She'll join us live at 9:25 on Wednesday. And Bo Dietl here tomorrow. Had a great conversation with Bo. That videotape came out about the cops. We'll talk about that later. Hey, one quick note. You know, I had a chance to see Ed Randall last week. Bernie, you and I worked with Ed for many, 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 many years at WFAN. He had a very popular sports show on every Sunday morning. It's really baseball. So he was here last week, and he said, you know, by the way, Sid, I always hear you talking about St. Patrick's Cathedral. And I'm like, you must really listen. He goes, yeah, I listen every day. He said, do you know that for the last 8 years, every Friday, I actually deliver a sermon at the lectern. I welcome people in for noon mass. I said, get out of here. He said, Sid, 8 years every Friday. So the show ended on Friday. What did I do? I went to the luncheonette across the street, got some pancakes and some eggs, and made my way at noon to mass once again at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And sure enough, reading up there with the priest, Ed Randall.
Wow.
He delivered a whole sermon. I was like, wow.
Who knew?
Right?
Oh, good for him.
That's such a cool gig, no?
Well, yeah, it's very cool. I mean, if you're into it, yeah.
I can't get that because I'm Jewish.
If you're Catholic.
Right.
I mean, it's limited to a certain amount of people.
Is that what it is?
I guess I could be one of them.
You could be one of those.
Yes, but yeah. I'm not.
When was the last time you went to St. Patrick's Cathedral?
I went, it was when we were here, while we were here. I took a walk over there. We had to do something in the afternoon. And I walked over and went inside and, you know, I looked around. I didn't do anything.
Oh, you didn't stay for mass?
No.
I can tell you Monsignor Richie is a huge, I'm not kidding, huge fan of this show. So, how about that?
Well, my boy Tony from the Hollywood Health Spa out in Long Beach.
That sounds gay.
He's jacked like you as well, by the way. He's just a big fan of that. I told him I'd give him a shout out.
Oh, so, is that right?
So the Monsignor and Tony from Long Beach.
How about that? Well, the Catholics love us. Bill Donahue, the head of the Catholic League, he loves us.
Yeah, well, we love him.
Yes. And with that said, we will celebrate the Jews at some point this week. Israeli Independence Day is the next
That's
big
right.
day. You
yes.
excited about that?
I am very
All right.
excited. Yeah. Speaking of somebody who should go to church, I love the headline yesterday. In the New York Post, Black Lives Matter. They got $90 million from these cowardly corporations, you know, people donating, and these guilty white idiots in the suburbs. And what does she do with the money? This is a lesbian Marxist. And a Marxist doesn't buy palatial estates if
No.
she's true to being a Marxist.
Uh-huh.
But they're buying palatial estates. Meanwhile, kids are getting shot. I mentioned earlier, 12-year-old kid shot in the chest in Brooklyn over the weekend, among many other shootings and incidents. And in Chicago, a 1-year-old was shot in the head. So they're not doing anything for the inner city community. Instead, just agitating people to perpetrate violence.
That's right.
And not only on their own people, but on the police as well. You had, there were cops. There was a cop killed, actually. Well, the videotape came out in New Mexico, but there was also cops shot over the weekend.
Yeah.
But this particular squad car up in Harlem, 155th Street, you got these guys. They're so brazen now. They're out there with bullhorns screaming at the cop. I don't know if we have that. Yeah, screaming at the cop.
I've
pigs,
got it.
They put pigs. They put a pig on the hood of the car and all that stuff. So anyway, that was an interesting story. Well,
and all you're going to hear about today is the cop that shot this 20-year-old kid in Minnesota. If you don't know, the Derek Chauvin trial is now going into week number 3. And to add flames to this, there was a 20-year-old kid, black kid, stopped by police yesterday and shot to death in Minnesota. So now, once again, all you're going to hear all day long is about how bad cops are, which, of course, is nonsense. Let's get the details as to what happened in Minnesota,
okay.
And let's continue to tell the truth
Absolutely.
About what's happening with the cops here.
You're right. And there was a cop. There was a cop. Now I see a cop shot and killed in Iowa. I wrote this down. Two cops were shot in Utah, one in the face. You're not going to see that on national news. Suffolk County, a cop was stabbed by during a traffic stop. He was stabbed in the thigh. He's in critical condition.
Oh,
he bled
God.
Out. He's
really?
In critical condition. Mm. So you don't see that. And the videotape was released over the weekend of a cop who pulled over a guy on a highway in New Mexico. And it was really horrible. His last words are, oh, shizzle, as the guy shoots him. So listen, this is what the cops go through every single day. No matter who they're pulling over, black, white, Latino, they don't know. They don't know what's happening. They're afraid. They're scared. So same thing with the guy in Minnesota, wherever
right.
it was, the
right.
suburb of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So anyway, just keep that in mind when you're quick to condemn the police. They're getting shot all over the place, and you don't hear about it.
You never hear about it. And I'm glad you put up that story because just to put more detail on it, the lady that Bernie is talking about, she bought a house in Beverly Hills, folks. Beverly Hills.
$1.4
million.
Yeah, one out of four homes.
Yeah.
One out of four. And this is a Marxist, right, and cares about black lives. And she's living in a lily white neighborhood, insulating herself from the crime that she's creating. The crime that she's perpetuating, she's actually exhorting people to commit crimes, to riot and burn, And yet she does this. This is hypocrisy on display. They don't care. Black Lives Matter, they do not care about that. This is a complete, total scam, this Black Lives Matter. And speaking of scams, this when we talked about it earlier, we have Rich Lowry coming up, so it's a good time to bring it up. Sneaky Pete on the all the news channels over the weekend pushing this infrastructure bill, which we don't need, and it's not infrastructure. The majority of it is not infrastructure. It's social welfare, garbage, Green New Deal crap. Anywhere from 6%, I've heard quoted, to 25%. That's it. That's all that's devoted to roads, bridges, tunnels, and the electrical grid. We had, according to the New York Post, job growth exploded in March, 916,000 positions added, far outpacing projections. In other words, the economy is roaring back. We don't need this. And what it does, it was printing money we don't have. That's just A. That's the A part of it. But yes, we need some infrastructure, $400-500 billion. That'd be great. But not 2.5 trillion freaking dollars, because it's just going to, it's again, printing money, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. So Sneaky Pete, last Sunday, he said this about how many jobs it would create.
The American Jobs Plan is about a generational investment. It's going to create 19 million jobs. And we're talking about economic growth that's going to go on for years and years.
Liar, liar, liar. And none other than fake news, Chris Wallace actually called him out, little Sneaky Pete. After the week he's had, listen, take a listen.
It turns out the study you're citing from Moody's Analytics says the economy will add 16.3 million jobs without the infrastructure bill and 2.7 million more with it. So it doesn't, as you said last Sunday, create 19 million jobs. Again, Secretary Buttigieg, why mislead folks?
Well, you're right. I should have been more precise. The 19 million jobs that will be created will create 2.7 million more jobs than if we don't do it. And that's very important, because there are people on this network and others saying with a straight face that this would somehow reduce the number of jobs.
But would you agree that you and the president and Brian Deese, the economic advisor, you all exaggerated the jobs impact?
Look, there are a lot of different analyses about just how many million jobs this is going to create. So, yeah, you're right. I should be very precise.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's good, though. He is good. You got to give him credit,
and
Pete.
This comes on the heels of, again, him taking that that fleet of SUVs from the Department of Transportation. Google this, folks. It's amazing. It's amazing. Maybe it's up on a Bernie and Sid Twitter and Facebook page. I don't know. I talked about it last week. But he takes a fleet of SUVs from the Department of Transportation, which I guess is about a couple of miles away from the White House, to the White House meeting on this infrastructure bill, gets out about two or three blocks away from the White House, jumps on a bike, puts on a helmet, and then the fleet of SUVs follows him. All this BS photo op nonsense. Yeah, look at me. I'm a climate change guy. I ride bikes. And by the way, we do have it now, this audio, of Governor Christie on with the beady-eyed little weasel, George Stephanopoulos, yep, yesterday, calling out the Biden administration on the same thing. It's refreshing to hear. This is the Governor Christie I know and love. Take a listen.
You cannot call a $400 billion plan to force unionization in states to say that taking care of increasing Medicaid payments in states is infrastructure. Now, language does matter. We learned that in the last 4 years, how you use it and what you say. And I said last week that the president's not telling the truth, and he's not telling the truth about the infrastructure package. This is the care economy. This is care infrastructure. It's baloney.
Good job, Chris Christie. The whole audio actually has Stephanopoulos coming back at Christie and trying to defend Joe Biden, and Chris Christie goes, listen to me. You could say what you want. Lying is lying. So congratulations to Chris Christie. He is the Bernie and Sid man of the day today.
Yeah, we have
not
that.
Not DMX.
We'll get to that a little bit later. We don't have time right now.
Okay, good.
We will get to it.
All right. Coming up next, Bernie. He's on every Monday. He's terrific. He's the editor of the National Review, Politico, Meet the Press, all that good stuff. A great Monday morning guest, our buddy Rich Lowry on Bernie and Sid, is next.
Well, I think that was a mistake. I think that was a mistake for number one, do you know how many black owners they hurt who have shops and stores there, and the money they took out of their pocket? I mean, that's insane to do that. It's insane. Look, I absolutely, totally don't like voter suppression. I think that's wrong. But, I mean, I think you got to study the law a little more. Actually, Atlanta has better laws than Colorado does. What were you doing? Was it just for a show? Was this a show and tell thing? I don't know. So I think that was the thing.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration. That was Chance Palminteri on my sports show yesterday, Sid Sports Sunday. Chance is a diehard Yankee fan like our next guest, Rich Lowry. I, of course, and Bernie were diehard Met fans. He continues to watch Yankee baseball. He watched the game yesterday, but he was very upset with what happened in Atlanta last week, as we all were. With that said, here he is, the editor of the National Review, writes for Politico, and always on NBC, Meet the Press, all those cool shows. Our good buddy Rich Lowry. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. So you heard Chaz there, and I agree with Chaz. I'm in the same exact boat. I'm disgusted with Atlanta moving the All-Star game to Denver. It makes no sense. But I'm still watching the Mets, unfortunately, every day. You're a big baseball fan like we are. Your thoughts on moving the All-Star game, how hypocritical it was to go to Denver, and are you still watching baseball?
Well, if the Yankees had lost yesterday, I definitely would have boycotted baseball.
That was a nice comeback win. That was a big win, no doubt, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm a total hypocrite. We talked about this last week with Bernie. I'm a total hypocrite. I hope MLB pays a price. I hope other people boycott them, make their displeasure known, but I just can't. I just can't bring myself to do it, unfortunately. But this decision was a travesty. It's based on a total lie about what's happening in Georgia. They can't justify it. Their statement had no specific complaint about the law. They haven't complained about these kind of laws, election laws, anywhere else. They have franchises in states that have more restrictive rules, including New York, by the way. So it's it's completely ridiculous pander to the left.
Yeah, and of course, Rich Lowry on the Bernie and Sid show. CBS, which encouraged corporations to speak out against the law, and they spoke out against it. They did not stop covering the Masters because of it. They didn't put their money where their mouth is, nor did Rob Manfred. Nor did he retract his membership from the Augusta National Golf Course. Those are two things there. But another thing we talked about last week, Rich Lowry, was Sneaky Pete Buttigieg. I hipped you to that little incident of his when he was driving in the SUVs on the way to the meeting for the infrastructure bill with the Biden people, the cabinet meeting. And then this week, yesterday, he was on Fox News. He was dressed down by Chris Wallace for lying about how many jobs this non-infrastructure bill is actually going to actually produce, which is 2 million as opposed to the 19 million he said. So what do you make of Pete Buttigieg and this infrastructure bill?
Well, I think the infrastructure bill is ridiculous. It's mostly not an infrastructure bill. If you look at roads and bridges, which what people usually think of when you think of infrastructure, stuff that helps you get from point A to point B, it's maybe $150 billion or less than $150 billion, depending on how you count. But then there's another $1.89 trillion on other stuff. That's just other Democratic priorities. They want to redefine its infrastructure because it sounds good. And it's a lot like the so-called COVID relief bill. COVID relief bill had a very small amount that had anything to do with COVID or relief. Otherwise, it was just major Democratic spending priorities. Same thing here. I fear, and it's going to be harder for them to do it this time, have Manchin kind of balking. I think the number will be reduced, but I fear they're still going to get a lot of the spending. Yeah.
Well, I agree, and if you listen to them at least, and of course they all lie, but Joe Biden specifically having this meeting today, they're all claiming, Rich Lowry, they've got bipartisan support. I don't know what Republicans are okay with this, but according to them, they've got plenty. Chuck Schumer has said the same thing. So are you aware that Republicans are on board with this?
No, I mean, it's another redefinition. It's just the way they redefine infrastructure. They're redefining bipartisan support as if it's popular in the polls, that means some Republicans support it, therefore it's bipartisan. So it's no longer what we've usually thought of when they're talking that way in Washington, which is, you have 10 Republican senators supporting it. I think you could probably have zero once again. And it just goes to the big lie about the Biden presidency. It was always clear substantively, he looked at his agenda, he was going to be the most left-wing president in our memories. But the tone music was always, I'm the moderate guy, I want to work with Republicans, I want to bring things back to the way they were. And there's just been none of that. There's just been none of that. He hasn't governed the way Joe Manchin has liked. He's much more governed the way AOC would like.
Right, exactly right. We might as well have Bernie Sanders in there. We might as well have gotten Bernie Sanders. Look, just not to belabor it, but it is important for this reason. Spending all this money, printing the money, by the way, which we don't need. The economy's roaring back. Moody's Analytics says that they're going to add 16.3 million jobs without the infrastructure bill. So you tell us, Rich, you're a very smart guy. You write about this stuff. Why the average person should care that their federal government is spending all this enormous amount of money? What damage does it do to us as individuals?
Well, the problem is the average person doesn't care that much. These sort of numbers have become abstractions. And at some point, there will be a tipping point where you spent too much, interest rates go up, and then you're paying massive amounts just to service the debt. Now, at some point, we'll get there. I don't know when. And Democrats have just convinced themselves there's just no downside to spending a bunch of money. It's basically for free. Interest rates are going to be low no matter what. Inflation is going to be low no matter what. And, you know, that might be right for a period of time, but I just doubt it's going to be forever. So don't spend money you don't need to spend. It's just a prudent thing.
Follow Rich Lowry on Twitter. He's a really good Twitter follow, at Rich Lowry. So, Rich, started this show this morning, not with the infrastructure bill, not with Donald Trump mad at McConnell again, not any of that stuff, with DMX. And I got to point out that the media does a really, really horrific job with this. This was a bad guy. Bad guy. Never really got to the point in his life where he did good things and he turned his life around. From the day he died, God rest his soul, at 50 years old, he was a lowlife. I mean, just a bad guy. And yet the media, with the tributes and their crying and white people specifically bending over backwards for DMX, I'm getting tired of it. Why do people in the media continue to do that type of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about DMX. I just followed it through the headlines. You know, it was hard to miss. But 15 kids?
How many different women?
Kids without taking care of them.
Right.
You know? And that's your basic responsibility as a father. So just right there, that's a disgrace.
Yeah, and he perpetuated this thug life, which is bad for kids who emulate that type of stuff. And one of his signature songs was entitled "What These Bitches Want," and that's not cool to Sydney and myself. Just FYI. Hey, listen, Black Lives Matter. The co-founder, she buys a $1.4 million house in Beverly Hills, among other homes that she owns out there, Lily White neighborhood, while, of course, the streets are starting to explode. They had riots in Minneapolis, which she and her organization encourages. So the hypocrisy and the damage that people like her has done to our society is pretty stark. Meanwhile, she doesn't live the life she tells other people to live.
Yeah, this is just a classic thing. No matter how much people complain about income inequality, no matter how much they claim to be socialist, or in her case, I mean, she started a Marxist organization, they always want to be rich themselves, oddly enough, and they always want to be really comfortable themselves, and they want to make as much money as possible, and they want to have as many homes as possible, and this is just another indication of it.
Rich Lowry, as always, on the money, Grand Slam home run. Again, follow Rich on Twitter, at Rich Lowry. Check him out, National Review, Politico, NBC. Always a great Monday morning conversation, Rich. Thank you so much. Go Yankees. Have a good week. All right,
pal. Have a great week.
You got it. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number, 1-800-848-9222. Still to come, New York Post columnist Miranda Devine, Lydia reports, and, of course, Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie comes your way 9:40 every morning. Your chance to win a $100 gift card and a Barry's House coffee mug. You know, I took home the Barry's coffee this weekend. That's all I drank.
Oh, yeah. It's terrific. It's very tasty, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and it's organic, too. So
it's organic, and the espresso coffee beans, or you can use the little K-cups.
The Keurigs, yep.
It's delicious. It's sort of hot chocolate or varying flavors.
Yes.
Brown sugar, whatever. It's great. Barry House. Barrie. Barry House Coffee. The official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show.
There you have it. More of Bernie and Sid on this Monday morning right after this.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
There's a stain on my notebook where your coffee cup was. used to love this group, Squeeze. This is Black Coffee in Bed. Tempted, another great song. Talking about Black Coffee in Bed, folks, go to WABCRadio.com now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, which is terrific. Proud to be the official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. So quickly, before we get back to the meat of the day, Bernie, I'm driving in yesterday to host Sid Sports Sunday, noon to 2 on Sunday. It's a great Sunday lineup. Reverend the Rabbi, John Katzimatidis, Rudy Giuliani, and Janine. And I love Judge Janine. I love her to death. Really, really do love her. But I was shocked by the amount of idiotic New Yorkers. Why do I keep saying that? How many times in the last 5 years since I've been back have I said I'm shocked by the amount of idiotic New Yorkers? I should stop being shocked at this point, right?
I would imagine so, yeah. Yes.
So the discussion was that all these phone calls, I mean, 99% think it's a horrible thing for New York to legalize marijuana because drugs are the ruination of this country. I'm like, you people can't be that stupid. Of course drugs are the ruination of this country. We know that. I watch Drugs, Inc. every night. They're making more cocaine in Peru and Colombia than they've ever made. But the question is, can we stop it? No. Does the government really want to stop it? No. So why put the money in the hands of the bad guys when all of our cities and states are broke? Why would you not want to legalize weed? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, I actually had the mayor of Island Park on. A lot of these people, they feel that it sanctions the use of reefer for kids. But as I explained to the mayor, kids are already using it. I mean, they just think that the government gives its imprimatur. In other words, it's okay to use this reefer, says the government, so you have increased use amongst kids. This is what they think.
Do you think that more kids now are going to try weed because the government said it's okay? Of course not. They're going to do it anyway.
No, but
well, they're not going to do it.
They may, I don't know, may have some studies may show that there's increased use after it's legalized. I don't know. I don't know. Listen, all I know is that if I want to sit in my backyard and fire one up on a Saturday night, or whenever, if I want to step outside a bar where people are smoking and I want to light one of those things up, well, and before I go back into the bar or the restaurant, I should be able to.
No, absolutely. And I tell you what, the best interview I heard all week, don't get mad at me because I know you hate Stern, that's fine. But the best interview I heard all last week besides you and I, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, our dear friend Chris Russo. Do you know anybody straighter than Dog? Plays tennis, lives in Connecticut. Know anybody straighter than Dog?
Straighter.
Yeah, like, could you
sexually?
Imagine Dog going out and drinking or doing drugs?
No.
Not in a million years, right?
No.
He eats edibles every day. Every day. He was going on and on with Stern last week. He loves the edibles. Chris Russo loves edibles.
Oh, welcome to the club. Now, listen, I tell you this, though. If the edibles were not legal, he wouldn't be eating them. He wouldn't know about them.
Right?
Yes. Wouldn't you think?
But he's like 60 years old.
Listen, look, I'm in the same boat right there. But this is what the people's objections are. And they're not necessarily invalid. They're legitimate objections. If you're worried about kids.
They're very Pollyannic. I love my kids. I'm an addict. I'm scared to death every time Ava, 17 years old, leaves the house. But we have to stop living in what would be this Pollyannic, idealistic, beautiful world that doesn't exist. The real world says there's billions of dollars being made by really bad people. When the cities and states need this money, we must legalize not just marijuana, prostitution, all of it.
Let me just say this. The money is negligible. $350 million annually is what the legalizing marijuana is supposed to generate for the state of New York. $350 million annually.
That's it?
That's nothing.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not more.
I know.
It's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
They say it creates jobs, and then they throw in, it's social justice, it adversely impacts the wrong communities, blah, 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 blah. But I still think, overall, it should be legal. Because, again, I mean, everybody, the libertarian in me says you should have the right to choose for yourself.
That's right.
You know, that's my thing right there.
We're on the same page. Gambling and weed and prostitution, legalize all three.
Legalize bestiality, too.
What?
I don't care. You know, if it generates tax revenue, let's do it.
I'm all for it.
Hey, look, and speaking of bestiality. First of all, this Asian hate crime thing, right where we worked, 7th Avenue and 33rd Street, there was an Asian decoy cop. We don't know if it was male or female, but it was a decoy. and some mutt started calling you Chinese mother effer and all this stuff, and I will cut your head off, and then start all these vicious threats, and the punk was arrested, right? Now, trust me when I tell you he was not a white supremacist. Well, because he was not white, and he was not a Trump supporter, guaranteed. He didn't care about the China virus origins or any of that stuff. He was just a scumbag lowlife. And this, and by the way, this has been going on. There was a great article by this woman. Her name is Wawa Chin, who talked about how that these incidents have been going on. Black on Asian crime has been occurring way before the pandemic, way before the pandemic. And it's time we start addressing. And it's not just a racial thing. It's a criminal thing. You got to lock these people up. But my point about the Asian guy on 33rd Street and 7th Avenue, right where we worked, that place is still a hellhole. He was right out of prison, no bail whatsoever. They just let him go. Here's a ticket. See you later. Bye bye. And that's, of course, because of Governor Cuomo and Todd Kominsky's state senator Todd Kominsky from Long Beach. Their no cash bail law. That's the same thing with that mutt who stomped the woman, the Asian woman on 9th Avenue. That was Governor Cuomo appointing.
We're gonna end the cash bail system once and for all.
There you have it. And that was him appointing BLM sympathizers, Antifa sympathizers to the parole board. So it's Governor Cuomo that caused a lot of this anti-Asian violence. And of course, the leniency towards the criminals and all that stuff, which is this Wawa Chin's point in the New York Post. But again, the cops are getting no respect. The law, they were not getting out of the cars because they took away qualified immunity for the cops. In other words, you can sue the cops personally. They're defunding police left and right, so crime is rising. And this happened at 155th Street up in Manhattan, in Harlem. These black guys with bullhorns screaming at the cops. Take a listen to this.
You got a partner too? Oh, I like that. You got a partner, yeah. That's sexy. I like the fact that you got a partner. You 60 credit bitch, you're dirty. 2354 for this dirty mother. When we catch them niggas and a dirty allegation, get the out the hood, man.
Take you with you.
Even the people don't want to see you here, man. Get the out.
You hear this? Now, this is the way they talk to the police, and
unreal.
The police just left. They just left. Yeah. I mean, what they should do in ideal times, they get out with their
bash them over the head
and beat the crap out of
Absolutely.
These guys, lock them up for disorderly conduct or some damn thing. But they just drove away, and you can't blame them.
I don't blame
because
them.
If they got out, who knows?
Nope.
You know, the videotapes, are, the cell phone cameras are rolling, all this stuff.
Well, they always start the cell phone when the cop tries to defend himself or after getting
right.
barraged like that for 30 minutes. It doesn't start there. Never does.
But meanwhile, when those punks, those mutts, grandmothers call the police for help or these, some kid is shot, 12-year-old is shot in the chest, who do they call? They call the police.
Yeah, they do.
They call the cops.
Yep.
And let me listen to this here. This New Hampshire coach, I spoke about this, what was it, Friday. I spoke about it Friday, and the New Hampshire coach, he ran a track team up in New Hampshire, and he told his kids they don't have to wear masks when they're running outdoors.
Okay.
So the school fired him.
They fired him.
They fired him. And it came out, he turned up on Tucker Carlson Friday night, and he explained that when he wore a mask and ran, this was his experience. Listen.
I decided a couple days ago to go run a 200-meter and a 400-meter out on the track with a mask on. I knew it would be bad. What I didn't quite realize was that as you inhale over and over again hard, you're actually sucking the mask into your mouth and your nose. It heals around your face, so there's no airflow around the edges, which is how they're designed. Everything has to come through the fabric, and it takes extremely exhausting races and makes them significantly worse. And then I got thinking about what's happening with any particles that are coming off the masks. What are you actually breathing into your lungs over and over and over again? And I got even more concerned about the possible health effects.
So he got fired, and there you go. I mean, it makes perfect sense. You're breathing in the same crap you're breathing out. You're breathing it back in.
Yeah, carbon dioxide.
Plus,
it's unhealthy for
plus
you.
All the other junk, the sputum or whatever the hell
and
it
then
is.
You sneeze inside your own mask.
Right, exactly. And I mean, they banned a videotape from YouTube where Ron DeSantis held his round table of people talking about masks. And among them was this one doctor, Dr. Bhattacharya. The YouTube banned the video because they said that kids don't need masks. Listen to him.
How do you teach a child to read with face masks on Zoom? Children develop by watching other people. And I think it's developmentally inappropriate, and it just doesn't help on the Z spread. I think it's absolutely not the right thing to do.
Small part of the conversation, but that was the gist of it. Banned from YouTube. What the hell are they doing out there?
I fight with my family every weekend. We went to a place called Tequileria or something like that on Amsterdam Avenue on Saturday night. The five of them go walking in, my wife and the other kids, my kids, walking in with the mask on, and I don't. And they actually stop me, and they're like, put your mask on. How many times have I got to tell you? I said, I'm not doing it.
This guy is a professor of epidemiology.
Right. Somewhere. You know, you walk past, when you first walk into the restaurant, you got somebody at the podium up front, and they greet you, and you have to wear a mask. And then you walk literally 2 feet, sit down at a table, and it's okay to take your mask off. How does that make any sense? Common sense. 2 feet before I sit down, I have to wear a mask. Well, someone's going to get sick, and then I sit down 2 feet later, and it's okay not to wear a mask.
They're completely wrong. Like, just like they were wrong about the COVID last survives on surfaces, wrong. It came out last week, wrong. All this disinfecting, this cleaning, wiping down, washing of hands, a waste of time. It is only airborne. You can't pick it up from surfaces. Remember all the fretting we did about Amazon packages and all that crap?
Yeah.
Stupid nonsense. Closing down the subways to clean them because of COVID on the surfaces, a waste of time. It did keep the homeless off the subways for 4 hours,
right?
But that's all.
That's it.
There was no other reason to do it except to keep the subways. You should be keeping the subways clean anyway.
And every time I look outside these beautiful windows in this gorgeous studio on 3rd Avenue, I point out to Bernie, look at all these morons walking in the street right now wearing a mask. Sometimes it's my boss. I feel terrible. I see LeBrosi walking across the street. Well, he's wearing a mask. Why?
You know that parking lot down there? I pull out of there sometimes. I wear the mask when I make the exchange with the people. You know, I leave here with the mask on, and then I make the exchange, the money exchange. Then I get in my car, and I drive right past this window here, and I think of you because my mask is still on. I forgot to take it off. I'm in my car driving, and I feel like a moron. I'm like, I got the mask on. I hope Sid doesn't see me.
Listen, you're my best friend. I would drag you out of the car and beat your face in.
But it's just a matter of I forgot to take. It's like if, as soon as I realize I have it on, I rip it off.
Well, again, if you didn't see the story today, Dr. Fauci admitted on television yesterday on CBS on Face the Nation when asked why in Texas where they decided to get rid of masks over a month ago. The numbers have not gone up. They've not gone up. When he was asked yesterday on TV, what's the reason for that? He said, quote, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Another thing he got wrong, including the surfaces and the 3 feet social distancing, the cruises, the masks. He was for masks. He was against masks before he was for them. And now this. Yeah. I mean, this guy is a total fraud, and he's affected the lives of people. That's the problem.
That's the worst
part. Adversely. That's the very worst part.
Agreed. Miranda Devine, Lydia Reports, Beat Bernie, still to come your way. It's a very fiery Bernie and Sid on this Monday morning, starting with DMX. Keep it right here. It's Bernie and Sid.
I got hairy legs.
Big black chain with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere in the 77 WABCF simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. So, having said that, let's go to Robin on Long Island. Good morning to you, Robin.
Good morning, Bernie and Sid. I'm a big fan. I just wanted to make a couple of points.
Sure.
First of all, just like medicinal marijuana, they will continue to buy it illegally because it's cheaper, which will make them more brazen, and we don't have field sobriety tests yet. I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, oh, that is an issue. The thing about the reefer and the police, we talked about this last week when they first legalized it, is that if the police smell reefer coming from a car, and I don't mean, and I had to clarify this, I don't mean if they just smell the skunk smell, that, in other words, you have it in your glove compartment. Mm-hmm. If they smoke comes out of your car and they smell it, they can't do anything to you about it. It's in the law. The police, hands are tied. In other words, you're driving while you're impaired. And the police can't do anything about it, according to the law. I mean, how stupid is that? How crazy is that?
That's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for legalizing weed and all these things, but much like alcohol, alcohol is legal, too.
Exactly right.
But when you get to a certain point, you shouldn't be able to drive. Same thing with weed.
And they don't, as Robin just pointed out, they don't have the ability to test people for levels of reefer in
right.
the blood.
She was also about to say, we're not going to see the money. That was her main point before you get too excited about the money coming from the weed. She said, we're never going to see it.
A measly $350 million.
Not enough. We'll come back with hour three on this Monday morning. Bernie and Sid, keep it right here. Because they are just a wannabe big rock star. Monday, 8:07. Good morning, New York City. All over New York. Of course, you can listen to this show all over the country. We've got a huge audience in Florida because the 77 WABC app is free. Download that 77 WABC app. Stop listening on iHeart. 77 WABC app. Download that today. It's free. And, of course, you can stream our show live online at WABCRadio.com. We've covered so much already this morning, from the infrastructure bill to the weekend that was, Kamala Harris, DMX, all these issues. But there's one issue that needs to be brought up right now. It's very, very important, and it has nothing to do with the meat of the day, which we'll get to momentarily. And that is, I found out this weekend, Bernie, something that really alarmed me.
I don't want to speculate.
Well, don't even try. Turns out that one of our very own minions, somebody that we actually rely on now because he's a part of the show, and I was always a bright kid. He went to a good college. He interned for us for two summers. Now he's working full time, helping out Matt Meany on the show. Turns out that John O'Halloran is nothing more than white trash.
Wait, that's two insults: a minion and white trash.
That's right. He's both.
So explain yourself.
Jesus.
Well, here's how I explain myself. I became aware only because he told me. Which he was all too proud to do, which makes no sense, that he spent the last two nights watching. Well, let's play it. Let's play what John O'Halloran was watching just last night. Go ahead, Matt.
The WWE are simply inciting Roman Reigns.
Raising the ire. Bryan is up. Bryan is through the table.
Bryan is done.
Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, there was a time when on a Saturday morning I was all caught up in Bob Backlund, Ivan Putski, the Wild Samoans, you know, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Jake the Snake Roberts, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Ric Flair, all of it, Hulk Hogan. This guy watches WrestleMania. He's an adult.
I guess he doesn't realize it's all choreographed. I don't know.
He doesn't know that?
I guess.
He thinks it's real?
I watched the UFC.
Oh, that's real.
That's real. Not only that, it was on ABC this weekend. It was on from 3 to 6. It was on ESPN from 12 to 3, and then ABC from 3 to 6. ABC, Channel 7, that's
on
right.
On Saturday. Wow.
It was great. And wow. And this Italian, they call him the Italian Dream, Marvin Vittori, fought this lunatic, Kevin Holland, who just fought 3 weeks ago the main card. I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. A night of fights. I loved it. But at least it's not choreographed.
No, it's real.
These guys are killing each other.
No,
there's blood flowing.
They're warriors.
Teeth are flying. Yeah. Eyes are getting knocked out of sockets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real, so I can justify it.
Of course.
It's a combat sport.
Right.
But to watch these big muscleheads dance around and pretend like they're throwing each other. Excuse me, they're dancing.
They're dancing.
They're doing nothing more than what Fred Astaire did.
I mean, they're talented. Some of them have to, you know, fall from all those Hart brothers died because they fell from the ceiling and missed the ring. And, you know, some of these guys, like you talked about, get so juiced up they kill their wives and kids every couple of months. You know, it's a very nice sport. I do apologize, John, for referring to you as white trash. That was probably a bit much.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I would
bit.
Say so.
But look, I mean, look, you guys watch movies. She watched TV shows. That's fake, too. What's the difference?
Well, that's a good point.
I understand that it's not real, but it's like a male soap opera. And Sid, I'm very surprised that you don't like it.
Come on.
Because you love that cheesy drama, The Real Housewives, Jersey Shore. This is right up your alley.
Well, that's real, too. See, that's why it's called Real Housewives.
Thank you. Like, those,
What I watch is real fighting. What you watch is just fake, nonsense.
Right.
Correct. Hey, man, I'll kick your ass, man. I'll toss you over the hair. Come over here and say that.
Bernie, I watched a guy whose character is a demon. He lit somebody on fire last night.
Hey, you demon, I will throw kerosene on you and light your ass on fire.
Exactly what happened.
And the crowd goes wild.
They go nuts. Idiots like this. But I will say this to John's defense, because I think I've called him enough names already this segment.
Yeah, really? You just call him an idiot, too.
Well, I take that back, too. I'm sorry. But in his defense, it's either that or he can get knee-deep in Joe Biden's infrastructure bill. And I got to tell you, that is so depressing that I'd almost give you a pass.
Can he really, though? Does he get knee deep in that?
Who, John?
Yeah, I mean, because that's. Are you into that? Are you into politics?
I don't know. Hold on.
You know why Bernie is saying that? And this is where Bernie is a lot more subtle, but just as nasty as I am. He's saying this moron who watches WrestleMania can never really understand what's going on with the infrastructure bill. Listen, that's what he's saying.
Hey, don't characterize my words. I will characterize my words. Do you get into that stuff?
I do a little bit, and I'll tell you where this it really is together. In 2014, live at Madison Square Garden, I watched Donald Trump get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Okay, so there you go. Sid's right. Listen, speaking of the infrastructure bill, Sneaky Pete, now we covered that already.
Oh, God.
Look, there was a lot of other stuff going on out there. Of course, Joe Biden came up with this. Remember all during the campaign? They asked him about packing the Supreme Court, and he actually said that, no, listen, you people don't deserve to know. It's a distraction is what it is.
I do remember.
Yeah, it's a total distraction. Anyway, on Friday he comes up with this quote-unquote bipartisan commission to study the packing the Supreme Court, a bipartisan commission. Two of the co-chairmen, they're both Obama supporters. One of them called Trump a Nazi. So where do you think this bipartisan commission is going to go down? Listen, Joe Biden, this is what he said in 1983 about packing the Supreme Court. And now he's going to do it. This commission is going to say, yeah, go ahead, Joe, do it, because Bernie Sanders and AOC and the Black Lives Matter want you to. Listen to him in 1983.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
I got hairy legs.
See, it made perfect sense. And FDR did. It was a stain on his administration, among others as well. And now he's lauded as this great president. But forget about it. He was a frivolous drunk is what FDR was. I'm sorry.
He let 6 million of my people die, did nothing about it. Now people want to make him a hero because he eventually was a guy that ended World War II, not before 6 million of my people and millions of other folks died, which he knew about every day as he sat in the White House and did nothing about it.
That's right. And he gave plus that ship full of Jewish refugees that was off the coast of Florida. He says, get lost. Get them out of here. They all had to go back to Europe. Half of them died. And then he gave away half of Europe to Joseph Stalin, who he actually idolized. He had the communists with him at Yalta, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, Joe Biden during the campaign on packing the Supreme Court. Now, this is a very important stuff because obviously the Supreme Court is important. But this was him during the campaign. Listen.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts. And I know that you said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election. But this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
They don't deserve to know. They don't deserve to know. And what they're doing to the Supreme Court, what were they doing? Somebody died and they got replaced. That's what they were doing to the Supreme Court. So he's a liar. He's a sneak. He's a thief. He's a crook. He's a perv. And his son is just the same. His son is, in fact, worse, exponentially worse. That weasel was on with Jimmy Kimmel over the weekend. By the way, I don't even want to play that. He just, you know, he's denying Jimmy Kimmel is kissing his ass and all that stuff. But the worst was, and what he's, of course, he was hosing his dead brother's widow. And then he lied on a gun application. He didn't get arrested for that. His wife, the dead brother's widow, stole the gun. She got no trouble for that whatsoever. You talk about white privilege or whatever the hell you want to call it. And then there was this little idiot on CNN, Brian Stelter. This is the way he talked about that book. I'll take a listen to him.
I'll tell you what, I've read a lot of memoirs. I've never read a memoir like this one before. This book about addiction, about how many times Hunter Biden could have died, the president's son, it's breathtaking.
He's kidding, right? He really is a moron, isn't he?
His wife,
Jamie, she's on New York One and seems like a nice girl.
He's using this drug addiction, which is a serious problem with a lot of people.
Tell me about it. As
some sort of shield from the, you know, being the dirty, lowlife scumbag that he is.
Well, in my book, You're Wrong and You're Ugly, which about 10 people read, I did not glamorize drug use. I talked about being on the 14th floor of a hotel in Cleveland, and if not for pulling out the keychain with my daughter who turned 17 last week, her picture on it, if I pulled out what I wanted to, which was a bag of drugs, I was going to jump and kill myself. This guy, for some reason, glamorizes. He's got prostitutes. He's got meth mouth. He's making the pictures look like he's having a great time.
And not only that.
So Brian Stelter should be talking about my book and not Hunter Biden.
Exactly. And talking about how he sold out his country. Him and his dad sold out the country for money, for money. Look, so it's sickening to hear this and to see this guy. He is a real POS is what he is. And
Hunter, you're a loser.
Thank you, President Trump. It's really, it's gross.
It is gross. What's not gross is Lydia Serrani. She's coming up next with Lydia Reports. You've got a very exciting 40 minutes about to come your way with Lydia Serrani, Lydia Reports, and a lady that Brain and I both think is the best columnist in the country. That's Miranda Devine of the New York Post. She's got a great column on Kamala Harris today. So join us at 8:40, plus Beat Bernie comes your way at 9:40. A very exciting hour and a half coming up on Bernie and Sid on this Monday. Keep it right here.
I just try to keep it real.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin Steakhouse with two locations, one in Midtown, the other in White Plains. Sizzling prime porterhouse steak or their fresh seafood. Host your next special occasion in their heated outdoor patio or spacious dining room. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com. We've been talking, guys, a lot about what's going on in Georgia and, the boycott that we had, the All-Star game that was moved out of there. Delta talking about moving their headquarters. Noticeably, you're not hearing about CNN moving their headquarters out of Atlanta. We haven't heard anything about the Masters being moved out of Augusta. And now we are learning from the Wall Street Journal that more than 120 CEOs, business leaders, and lawyers and experts came together over the weekend to discuss further action against voting legislation nationwide. A professor at the Yale School of Management organized it, and he said it was incredibly concrete. These CEOs had less than 48 hours notice, and about 100 of them attended. Notable attendees include the CEO of Levi, the co-founder of Home Depot, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, representatives of AMC Theaters, and three major airlines also attended. So once again, we have these corporations trying to influence how Americans should vote and their voting process and who should be put into office. And it's just really incredible. And I heard that their next target is now Texas.
Wow. Yeah, this is this wokeness among these cowardly corporations. I don't know what they're thinking. It's coming from them internally and on the Twitter. The Twitter mob is coming after them as well. But, show some guts. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's patently false what they say about the voter rules in Atlanta. The law, of course, makes it easier to vote, harder to cheat. Simply put, that's it. That's it. End of conversation. Other states are way more restrictive. We know that. Ad nauseum. But these corporations are caving is disgusting. CBS, of course, urged corporations to speak out against the Atlanta, Georgia voter integrity bill. And yet, when they had a chance to put their money where their mouth is, they They didn't. They continued to cover the Masters in Georgia. They did not step out because it would have cost them money, right. So they didn't do that.
Well, listen, a lot of us are hypocrites when it comes to this. Chaz Palminteri admitting yesterday on Sid Sports Sunday he's a hypocrite. Rich Lowry admitting this morning he's a hypocrite. I've called myself a hypocrite 1,000 times. I'm going to watch the Mets every day, but it's still reprehensible what Georgia did. In fact, going back to the All-Star game for 1 second, 51%.
Wait, you don't mean what Georgia did. You mean what MLB
what
did?
The baseball did, right. 51% of Atlanta, African-American, they moved the game to Denver, Colorado. You can't find a black person. I think it's 9%.
It's like Lily White, Sydney. It's like, wow. Yeah, look at the mountains there. Huh? I see snow on top of one of them, and it's like 75 degrees here. Yeah. What's going on?
Like Tahoe has that. But that's what the number is. 51% African-American in Atlanta, 9% in Denver.
Yep.
So baseball really has no explanation.
It screws the people they purport to want to help.
Exactly.
And they don't care.
What's funny is some of the CEOs called in from Augusta, Georgia because they were at the Masters golf tournament.
That's funny.
And Rob Manfred, who is the he's the guy that runs
the
commissioner of baseball.
Yeah.
He has a membership at the Augusta Golf Course. Here's CBS themselves. Here's a report on this situation down there. And listen to Gail King at the very end.
Viacom CBS, that's us, is one of the many companies publicly opposing the voting law. CBS Sports will broadcast the Masters as it's done for more than 60 years. Got history there.
Oh, there you go. It was just her saying that. As they've done, they're against the law, but CBS, we're still going to stay there.
Oh, they're going to stay there.
Yeah, Gail King, the race-baiting Gail King. Yeah. She's got nothing to say about her own company, corporation, not putting their money with it, not putting their mouth with or whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Right, no, but
the thing, you know the thing.
Not putting their money where their mouth is, but there's CBS and Gail King talking about it. And yes, they did hold the Masters. And when it was over, it sounded something like this.
Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion.
A celebratory day because we have our very first ever Japanese champion.
Well, yeah, Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
God bless him. You know.
The former HUD secretary under Barack Obama, Julian Castro, I played this clip the other day, and he's talking about companies, they should boycott Texas. He says, if companies in Texas don't speak out against these voter suppression bills, they're complicit in thousands of their own employees losing their voting rights. So he was saying, even though Stacey Abrams and all these other top black Democrats in Georgia are now saying, no, don't boycott Georgia. Now you have Julian Castro, who's a former HUD secretary under Barack Obama, saying, okay, Georgia didn't go far enough. You guys got to start it now before Texas actually enacts their voter integrity laws. I know they're calling them voter suppression laws. I call them voter integrity laws. So.
Yeah, absolutely right, which is what they are, voter integrity laws. What do they do? What is the main objection to the Georgia voting new law, integrity law, is that you have to put some piece of ID, whether it's a part of your driver's license number, your social security number, or utility bill number on the vote of mail-in ballot. That's what you have to do. That's the main objection. And they say, of course, that black people are incapable of doing it. What's more racist, requiring somebody to put a number on a card or saying that they're incapable of doing it like all the other white people are? I mean, which is more racist? Huh, Lydia?
You just answered your own question because I have yet to meet an African-American person that doesn't know where to get their ID or have an ID. It's just really condescending and racist. I think it's racist.
And you played some great video last week.
Yes.
Asking these college kids and then plus asking the black people, do you know where the motor vehicles is, whatever it is. It was fantastic. Hammered home the point is what it did.
Absolutely. I mean, we could go out right in front in Midtown. We can go anywhere in New York City. You can go anywhere and they'll look at you like you're crazy. And that's the problem. You got the mainstream media perpetuating this narrative that doesn't even exist. So of course, if you go against something, you don't want to be called a racist. And that's what these companies are afraid of. They're sitting there for hours and hours. This meeting, by the way, went on for a very long time because I bet they were discussing, okay, can you explain to me why this is racist? You know, that's the problem here. This wouldn't be such a huge discussion going on for hours and hours if it was explicitly racist. but they're not. And, this Lydia Reports, is sponsored. Sorry, I know I have to wrap it up. He's telling me by Benjamin Steakhouse. Sizzling prime porterhouse steak or fresh seafood. Host your next special occasion in their heated outdoor patio, a spacious dining room in Manhattan, as well as Westchester County. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com.
All right. Thank you, Lydia. Great report as always. Check out Lydia every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock, sitting alongside our boss and owner, the great John Katsimatidis at 5. You can follow Lydia on Instagram at Lydia News 1 and, of course, on Twitter at Lydia News. You want to say something on the way
up? Wanted to say, regarding the adamant opposition to voter integrity laws, it signals to me that they know that they won by cheating. I mean, they think they won by cheating, which is why they're so adamant to prevent cheating from happening. They're for cheating to happen in the future. They're against protections against cheating. And that's, again, signals to me that they know they won by cheating.
All right, fair enough. We got a great columnist coming up next. Pretty nice. I think she's the best in the country. New York Post Miranda Devine on a variety of topics with Bernie and Sid is coming up next.
Have clearance, Clarence.
When I find myself in time of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
For what it's worth, my favorite Beatles song at 8:38 on your Monday morning here. Bernie and Sid, Talk Radio 77 WABC. A quick shout out to Joe. He drove the party bus for Ava and her friends on Friday night. Joe listens every day, loves Bernie and Sid.
What's up, Joe? How about my boy Tony out in Long Beach?
Yes.
Tony in Long Beach. I met him at the Hollywood Health Spa on Saturday. He loves the Bernie and Sid show, and he's a great guy. And he's as big as you are, muscled up like you.
He's probably bigger than me. So, Joe and Tony, we love you both. Talking about love, Bernie and I both agree our next guest is the best columnist in the country. No disrespect to Michael Goodwin, but she's better. She is from the New York Post, is often on this show, Fox News. We love her, Miranda Devine. Good morning, Miranda.
Hey, Miranda. Good morning, Sid and Bernie. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Now, I played the Beatles there, straight out of Liverpool, England, for a reason. Even though your column today is great, we're going to get to it on Kamala Harris. Last time, Miranda, you were on with me and Bernie, you were on to discuss what you were writing about that day, which was this Meghan Markle, Prince Harry controversy. And I was yelling at you, stop. I don't want to read about this stuff. But here we are again. Prince Philip died on Friday. The funeral, which I'm going to, I'm one of only 30 people, is Saturday. On a serious note, I know that you pay close attention and you do feel these types of things. Are you very upset about his death?
Look, he's 99 years old. No, honestly, I'm not. But I do feel nostalgic for the sort of man he was and the generation he represents, which is, you know, one that put duty and honor in front of everything else and really was selfless. I mean, he was selfless. He had this amazing naval career ahead of him. Everybody said he'd be Lord of the Admiralty. You know, he was first in his class. He was athletic and brave and swashbuckling. And he married the Queen, and then her father got sick and eventually died. So all that was cut short. And he never really complained about it. He never was resentful. I mean, he had many more things to complain about than Meghan Markle, who was there for, you know, less than 2 years and just whinges and moans nonstop about it, and Harry as well. So I just think he's wonderful, and it's sad that people aren't a bit more like him now.
Well, one quick follow. Meghan Markle will not be at the funeral Saturday. Harry will be there, but she won't, correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's fantastic that she's not going to be there because, they love him, but I can't imagine that they wouldn't feel incredibly resentful about what she's done to him, you know, filled his head full of ridiculous nonsense about critical race theory and making him think he's got subconscious bias and that his family's racist. It's just appalling. And to go on Oprah when Prince Philip was sick in hospital and had been there a month was beyond callous.
Yeah, and a shout-out, a plug for the Netflix series The Crown. It turned me around on the royal family. I got to tell you, I love that series. I don't know if you watch it, Miranda, but if
Isn't
you haven't,
great?
Two thumbs up. What a great, great, well-done show. Miranda, so let's segue to your column. Miranda Devine from the New York Post on the Bernie and Sid show. Down at the border, you got kids getting raped. They're drowning. They're stacked on top of each other, in Biden's cages. And we're spending about, I think, $60 million a week on all this nonsense. And plus, of course, they're going to come into the interior, and it's going to just drain resources, ruin schools, all that stuff. But cackling Kamala was appointed 3 weeks ago to oversee fixing the problem at the border. And I guess it's solved by now, right?
Huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, not that she would actually do anything because she's a big believer in open borders, but she's just stayed a million miles away. You know, she's been traveling around the country and just studiously ignoring the fact that Joe Biden on March 24 appointed her, that's like 2 weeks ago, appointed her to be point woman for the border to fix the migrant surge. And she's, at the moment, all she has done is make a couple of phone calls to leaders down there. And she actually, a couple of days after Joe Biden announced that that was her new job, her spokeswoman said, the vice president's not doing the border. And she just around that same time was asked by reporters if she was going to the border, and she just laughed about it. So she's not taking it seriously, and she's showing great disrespect to the president.
Well, I think she is taking it very seriously, and I think you just nailed it. She would be a hypocrite and a liar if she actually went down there and tried to fix it, because, as you said just moments ago, she's all for open borders. So if you really look at it that way, she's being very consistent, sticking true to what she believes as much as we can stand it. And that's why she's not going, because she's trying not to upset the apple cart that she knows she will reign over one day soon when she becomes president.
But she needs to go down there just to see what's happening to those children. I mean, she's always pretending that she cares about children. She railed about it during the election campaign, you know, Trump's so-called kids in cages. And just like Nancy Pelosi always pretends everything's just for the children, and she's also pretending there's no problem down there. They're just, it's irresponsible, reckless, and cruel to pretend that nothing's happening down there and turn a blind eye and be like an ostrich with your head in the sand, because at some point they're going to have to deal with it. If they deal with it now, or they deal with it in a week's time or a month's time, the numbers coming in, if you look at a graph, it is exponential. It is unprecedented. And they no longer can Joe Biden pretend that it's just, you know, the usual seasonal surge, which was absurd when he said it anyway. But they don't have a plan apart from desperately sending emails to government employees and saying, hey, want 4 months paid leave to look after children at the border? I mean, I can't imagine anyone really wanting to take that up. The COVID problem down there is horrendous. You know, for this administration and Joe Biden particularly, who's such a COVID neurotic and has made that the centerpiece of his presidency, to allow this super spreader event where, you know, the Republican senators who've gone down there say that it's 25% of people there are infected with COVID. And imagine what they're like after they've been in those overcrowded centers.
Right.
And they're not doing anything about it. They are allowing these people to just spread out through the country and spread the disease far and wide, and that suits them because they want to keep the lockdowns going and they want everybody to be scared and under their thumb.
It's an utter catastrophe. To remedy it, Miranda Devine on the Bernie and Sid show from the New York Post, they would have to re-implement Donald Trump's policies, which they're loathe to do. But that's what they're going to have to do eventually, in my opinion. But I want to move on, if you don't mind, Miranda, to your other piece in the column today. And you write about Hunter Biden. You in the New York Post, of course, you were censored before the election with this Hunter laptop from hell scandal. And before the election, of course, Hunter Biden was hiding. You couldn't find him anywhere. Now this piece of garbage is all over the place. He's got a book out. And the sycophancy from the fake news, these interviews, is just sickening. These interviews that you see, that the venues that he appears on. But even more than that, there's substance to it. And you write about some of the substance and also about some of the nepotism that went on with Hunter Biden and the Obama administration. Tell us about it, please.
Yes, well, look, he's getting these fawning media interviews, and of course his reputation is being laundered, and he's able to say, oh, you don't need to see the laptop because you've got the book, as if he's told everybody everything that goes on in his life and has gone on, when he's just touched the tip of the iceberg, which is the drug addiction, which is, you know, the least interesting part of his laptop, other than you think to yourself, how can a wastrel like that get paid $83,000 a month by this Ukrainian energy company, Burisma? But the laptop also shows just the life of entitlement and privilege that President Biden's family has enjoyed for a very long time, and particularly Hunter. So there's this email exchange that I picked out, which is between Hunter's cousin, who's the daughter of Joe Biden's sister, Valerie. And she writes to Hunter in an email, and she says, you know, can you get Mum one of those fabulous government appointments? I want to get something for her. And he says, oh, yeah, I'll just go and talk to Joe Biden, who was then vice president, to his chief of staff, and we'll go through all the possibilities and see what might come up. And then he does talk about, you know, not sure if 2016, the election there, and nepotism might you know, be a problem at this point, because they've got to worry about election, you know, the appearances. Anyway, next year, President Obama appoints Auntie Val to a role at the United Nations, which goes for 4 months, pays $26,000. And, you know, there's another memo showing that there are a couple of other $12,500 a month consulting contracts that that Hunter's going to set up for his auntie to take care of her. And, of course, Hunter doesn't have any power. He doesn't get to set anything up. It's all done with Joe Biden and his staff. So, and this is the same with everything. I mean, when Hunter wants his Burisma colleague to meet Joe Biden, he sets it up. The colleague writes him an email saying, thank you so much for letting me meet your father in Washington. It's all quid pro quo. And Joe Biden pretends that he knows nothing about his son's business, and yet he's intimately involved in it and actually helps out Hunter on several occasions.
You know, the media has been so bad for so long, even dating back to the Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings days. Those guys were as liberal as anybody today, but it didn't feel the same, I guess, is my point. Today it just feels overwhelming, the amount of support the left gets from the media and the lies that are being told to the American public every day. Roger Ailes, God rest his soul, is not going to walk inside this door anytime soon. So the question, Miranda, for me is there ever going to come a day, ever going to come a day, when the truth actually is told to the masses? Because right now it's just the very small minority.
Well, look, I don't know, because they're doing their best to silence people like Tucker Carlson. You know, they're trying to get him sacked now. Anyone who challenges the kind of worldview of the left, which is in the ascendancy at the moment, is punished. So I would hope that if a Republican president ever wins again, that they'll be able to do something about big tech, because I think that's, you know, really the main problem, because they disseminate and censor and control the news and what people see. Facebook is now controlling communities that people are involved in, and that's a great way to sort of divide people up and start propagandizing them. So, and I'm writing a book about Hunter Biden's laptop, so hopefully that will get through to a few people as well. Because I think that the laptop's a really important insight into how the sort of corruption at the top, and also just how the rules never apply to certain people who are in that power elite. And that includes especially the Bidens. You know, they get jobs, they get Ivy League university placings, internships, judge clerkships, they get you know, cut price mansions. They get friendly people wanting to invest millions in their companies. It's everything's a rails run. It's all there for the taking for these people. And anytime they have run-ins with the law, which they do because they're wastrels, a lot of them, they're just treated with kid gloves.
They're wastrels.
Nothing ever happens to them. Yeah.
You're right. And you point that out in your article. DWI, credit card fraud, shoplifting, assaulting police, lying on a background check about your drug use when buying a gun, and of course, having sex with his dead brother's widow who stole that gun in the meantime, and nothing happened to any of them on that, and you call it white privilege on the part of the Bidens, and you're absolutely right. Miranda Devine, your column is brilliant in the New York Post today. Check it out on Kamala Harris and the Biden family, business, nepotism, all that stuff. We thank you for appearing on the Bernie and Sid. Miranda, you're great. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sid. Thanks, Bernie.
All right, Miranda. Take care. Miranda Devine, New York Post, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Still to come in less than an hour. One of the highlights of our weekday shows. Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers beat Bernie. Your chance to take on the smartest guy in New York, my partner, and a chance to win a $100 gift card and a beautiful mug, Barry House Coffee, which, of course, is the official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the morning show. All that comes your way at 9:40, only right here. On Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Right?
Closing out the 8 o'clock hour. We've got a big 9 o'clock hour coming up. Get to the meat of the day, plus Pete Bernie. I will tell you this. I did watch, talking about CBS and their hypocritical stance about Georgia, I did watch some of the Masters yesterday.
Hideki Matsuyama.
It was exciting. That's very good, by the way. Good Jim Nance. Because he did bogey three of the last four holes, so he was trying to choke it away. The life hack would have made sense on a serious note.
You know, he surprised everybody.
He did. He did. But he played poorly yesterday. I think he's only the second guy ever. I think Immelman was the last guy. Or the second guy in many years to shoot over par on the fourth and final day and still win the green jacket. He shot plus one for the day yesterday. But nevertheless, I will say this. When people go, no Tiger Woods, not the same interest, that is not overstated. Tiger Woods, not out there, won this event just 2 years ago in the most incredible, dramatic, and breathtaking fashion. No Tiger Woods, for me at least, and I'm sure millions of others, just not the same interest.
You saying it was boring?
It wasn't because Matsuyama tried to choke it away, but
right.
I didn't have the same zest. I didn't feel like I had a run there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Something tells me, even though Tiger was Kablan Asian, I sense an anti-Asian bias on your part. Sorry.
Yeah, but I'm pro-black.
Well,
because I love Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but still.
And I miss Tiger Woods.
That's not the, today the issue is anti-Asian
oh,
violence.
Oh, that's today. Okay.
And you are feeding right into it.
What are you talking about? He
I didn't like the Masters because Matsuyama was...
Wait, but Tiger's Asian.
That's what I just said.
And I'm rooting for Tiger.
That notwithstanding.
Oh, that notwithstanding.
That aside, you look at Tiger as black.
Right.
And so therefore, no, I can't.
Exposed
jest.
Again.
I jest.
He got me again, Bernard. Exposed again.
Good for God bless Hideki. And as Hideki says, maybe this is start a new trend.
I was a little annoyed that he had an interpreter inside the 12th house. Kind of like when the guy goes to the mound with an interpreter. I hate that stuff.
I could not get over how Jim Nance was handling
it. I mean, please, if you move to America and you want to win millions and millions of dollars, speak the damn language.
And he probably could, but he probably butchers it and doesn't want to embarrass himself.
Well, I can't see any interpreter stuff. Anyway, we'll come back with the last hour of Bernie and Sid on this Monday right into this. Another guy that's dead. You know, I'm at that age now. We're saying last week.
Wait.
Yeah.
But who's dead?
Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he is.
He's dead.
I forgot that he passed away.
Yeah, you were thinking.
Tongue cancer. That's right. I was thinking of David Lee Roth.
Right, or Hagar. But no, it's Eddie Van Halen. And I was saying last week that my daughter, Ava, who's in South Carolina today, she celebrated her 17th birthday, but it wasn't on her birthday, on April 7th. It was like a month-long celebration. That's what women do. They don't have one-day birthdays. It's like a week. It's like a month. It's ridiculous. Women do it and kids do it. So here's what I've decided. Because everybody my age is starting, a little older than me, they're dying. Like, all the people I liked when I was growing up as a kid, they're all dying. So I'm going to start to take that same philosophy. Now, my birthday, just so you know, is exactly 1 week from today. If God is good to me, next Monday I'll be 54 years old, a week from today. So today starts my birthday week. So what I want you to do, Bernie, is every day between now and next Monday, April 19th, when I actually turn 54, I want you to wish me a happy birthday and make a whole big deal out of it.
Well, I can do the former. I don't know about the latter.
You can't?
I can wish you a happy birthday. And in fact, let me start right. Happy birthday, Sydney.
Perfect. We got day one out of the way of the week-long Sid birthday. I mean, you do the same thing. Let me hear that.
Happy birthday, Sid.
Thank you.
This is your big deal.
Oh, this is big. Thank you. This is my big deal. Now I'm good. John O'Halloran, you too, Sarah. So now I'm good for today, leading up to next week. But I am noticing, on a serious note, so many of my childhood heroes and actors and actresses and ball players, they're dying. Burn. It's starting to get very depressing.
Get used to it.
I know.
It's just going to...
I guess the longer we live.
Of course, of course, of course. Yeah. I actually went to a wake yesterday. A good friend of mine, his mom. No, his mom passed away.
I'm sorry. I didn't know
my
that.
My good friend Bob Greger out in Long Beach. He had a beautiful mother. Died.
I'm sorry.
But that's the way it is. You're going to see a lot of that. You lost your dad. I lost my mom in 98, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And you'll see celebrities, celebrities checking out left and right.
Left and right.
And some younger than others.
Some good people. Some not, like DMX. despite the loads and loads of
DMX.
Inspirational posts Instagram, the guy was a scumbag lowlife.
Listen, I didn't begrudge people saying DMX died. He was a rapper. He made some songs that people liked, and
fine.
That was okay.
Fine.
But here we are, over the weekend, they treated him like he was, the second coming of Stevie Wonder or Martin Luther King, for
God's sakes. That's exactly the guy I said this morning, Stevie Wonder, right? Right, John O'Halloran? And again, it's the white, it's Michael Rappaport. It's all the white people out there that feel this need to go crazy over a black person, even when it's a bad guy DMX.
It's called virtue signaling.
I know
it is. Pandering, virtue signaling. Look, DMX, and he was from, I know exactly where he was from. I used to pick up people from his projects in my taxi. And I know people, I had friends who lived there on School Street in Yonkers.
Is that far from where Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, well, not really. It's about, as the crow flies, it's about a mile. But Schlobaum was even worse than where DMX grew up. But anyway, it was still bad, very bad. But he perpetuated this thug gun life.
Yeah.
Which got, by the way, a 12-year-old shot in the chest over the weekend in Brooklyn on Malcolm X Boulevard. And a one-year-old shot in the head in Chicago. He glamorized that.
Oh,
is what he did.
Yeah.
And he came up with some great lines, I got to tell you. Listen, your ass is about to go missing. You know who's going to find you? Some old man fishing. That's a clever line.
It is?
How about this? Grandma wishing your soul at rest, but that's hard to digest by the size of the hole in your chest.
Ay, ay, ay.
And he also had this song out, What These Bitches Want.
Yeah. No, this is a guy
these are classics.
Right. He said horrible things about women, about cops. He had 15 kids with like 10 different wives. He was just, it wasn't like he got to the point in his life where he woke up one day, he was 40, and by the way, he killed animals also. He made Michael Vick look like nothing.
Attacks, deadbeat, weapons, charges.
All of it. And it wasn't like he woke up at 40 years old and said, hey, you know what, I've lived this thug life, but it's over now. Now I'm going to donate my time to kids in cancer wards.
He never reached that stage.
Never. He was a lowlife to the very end when he OD'd at 50.
And honestly, he came from a crap place, and that was his life. That's all he knew, and that's what he lived. That's what he sang. And I understand that, but let's not glamorize.
That's my point.
Let's not go overboard with the adulation. You have fat white women coming down from Poughkeepsie. I saw on the TV, laying down wreaths outside the house. Oh, he was such an inspiration. What are you talking about?
He was garbage.
What, inspiration to you? What do you know?
To
about
nobody.
It?
And again, not just the fat white woman from Tarrytown, but all the white entertainers I saw on Instagram, which I'm on all day, every day, was really nauseating. And yet, a 100-year-old guy, 100-year-old man, God bless him, who served in World War II, fought D-Day. He died yesterday. He died yesterday, and he's getting one one-millionth the coverage of this lowlife DMX.
Yeah.
And that is part of the problem with this damn country, and it's been that way for a very, very long time.
And the only reason he's getting this coverage, it's only Fox News that's covering this guy, was that he gave interviews this past year on D-Day. He was very, very coherent at 100 years old. And that's why he's getting a little bit of attention. Plus the other 100-year-old guy out in England, he served admirably in World War II as well. He was very heroic.
You mean Philip?
Philip,
he was 99, yeah.
He was that's right, 99 years old. He served, you know, but I got to tell you, there's some funny stuff with Philip. Some of the things he said, I don't know if you read any of this over the weekend.
No, I steered clear away from all that stuff. Even though I don't dislike Philip, I really don't. I dislike a lot of them, including his kid Charles. But nothing against Philip. But I did say, because your funeral is coming up on Saturday, so we're going to be inundated the next 6 days with all this nonsense.
Here's some of the things he said. After he was very, they call it, it was unfiltered. And I knew some of this stuff before the weekend, but the New York Post delineated, they put out a list. After a 13-year-old boy told him he wanted to go into space, Philip told the kid, "You're too fat to be an astronaut."
Oh, I love that. Did he really say that?
He really did.
Oh.
And at the 2012 Jubilee event, and there's actually a picture of him looking at a girl in a red dress where the zipper comes up the middle.
I know.
He actually said to her, he said, "Look, I would get arrested if I unzipped that dress."
What?
He said that. Now, meeting the president of Nigeria, the president was clad in traditional robes. This is 2003. He said to the guy, "You look like you're ready for bed."
That's great.
He's viewing art on a 1965 trip to Ethiopia, and he remarked, quote, "It looks like the kind of thing my daughter would bring back from her school art lessons."
Oh, my God. What a set of balls on this guy.
And then an Aboriginal culture park in Australia in 2002, he says to the guy, an Aboriginal businessman, he says, "Do you still throw spears at each other?"
Oh, my God. No, he didn't say that.
This is the New York Post.
No, he didn't.
Straight from the New York Post.
Oh,
and finally,
my God.
There's a bunch
of... By the way, you could never say any of that stuff if he was a politician in the United States.
Oh, God. No way.
Right.
No way. And he said, finally, to Elton John was singing at some place in 2001, quote, "I wish he turned the microphone off."
He said that.
Prince Philip.
You can't make fun of Elton John in England. That's blasphemy. It's like a heretic.
In the meantime, henpecked Harry has gone back without the old ball
without
and chain, as they say.
Yeah.
She had a great excuse, of course, her pregnancy. And maybe it's valid. I don't know.
No, it's not
valid.
She wasn't invited, bro.
Invited?
To the funeral. They said she can't come.
That's not official.
That's 100% true.
Official?
Well, they're not going to tell you that.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you that.
Bro.
So let me ask you this. So if you love Meghan. No, not you specifically. Oh. But she's your wife. You've decided to sever all ties, do all these things that he's done now for the better part of a year and a half, I guess. And now you're going to go back there when they disinvite her?
I don't believe they disinvited her.
Let's say they did.
Well, then he wouldn't go. I don't think he would go.
Do.
This guy is completely, totally whipped.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hope...
Until all those millions of dollars, which he knows he's going to get eventually, go away if he doesn't show up with something like this.
I mean, plus, I think he had a relationship with... By the way, he was this guy, Harry. I mean, speaking of politically incorrect, he went to a Halloween party once wearing a Nazi uniform with a swastika.
Like Roseanne Barr did that, too.
Right, so they were maybe cut from the same cloth, although she has completely emasculated this guy. She's cut his you-know-whats off.
Yeah.
And now, listen, this is what I'm hoping for. He shows up at the funeral, you know, on TV or whatever. Maybe Harry kicks his ass or something. He shows up with a black eye or something like that. Wouldn't that be great? A missing tooth?
That would be good.
But I think he could actually take William. I don't know.
William looks, as you would say, the muscle of a salamander. I mean, he's got the
physique of a salamander.
Oh, yeah. This poor kid, he was a cute kid, but he started balding.
Plus
he's got those big, nasty teeth.
These crazy redheads.
Oh.
And they can throw down.
Oh, yeah, that is a known thing.
They have a high threshold for pain,
yes,
I think.
Yes, that's what they say. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but be nice to see him show up with, a missing tooth or a black
eye.
That'd
be great. So in the end, will you watch this funeral on Saturday?
I probably will watch a little bit of it.
You can't help yourself.
You know, look, I'm watching. I'm into the, on Netflix, as I mentioned to Miranda Devine, The Crown. Absolutely. My wife and I, Carol, we can't get enough of it. We watched two or three episodes this weekend. And got another season to go, and they're gonna make a season five.
Okay, so because you're watching this television show now, you're coming around with the
yes.
real Royals.
Really? Well, look, it humanized them. It's a great soap opera. My dad would kill me. They're still parasites. They're still good for nothing. And the idea that their blood makes them superior to you, me, or the snaggletooth commoner in the streets of London
yeah.
is garbage. It's anachronistic. It's insulting. It's classist. Forget about classes.
How dare he?
Right. It's stupid, but I'm into it nevertheless. All after right. watching The Crown.
All right. Beat Bernie is coming away at 9:40. Brought to you by our dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. They are America's best built borders. At stake today, as every day, a $100 gift card and a beautiful, beautiful Barry House coffee mug. Barry House, the official coffee of us. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning. And we're only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
What's up, New York?
Black Coffee in Bed by this group, Squeeze. Reminded me of this song, Tempted. I love this song. So you got a twofer today on a Monday from Squeeze on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Dave Labrosi reminds me, too. Not only are we the best radio station, not just in New York, but in the country, due in large part to the leadership, which starts at the very top with John and Margo, Katzimatidis, two folks like Chad Lopez and Dave Labrosi. But I'm going to bet this. I would win this on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. I don't know this for a fact. I'm going to assume I'm going to win this bet. And Bernie and Matt, I think you'd agree. Can you name another top station in the country? Another top station in the country that even compares to us? Where three, not one, not two, but three consecutive hosts begin their last name with the letter K.
Three hosts.
Brian Kilmeade, 10 to noon. Charlie Kirk at noon. Greg Kelly, 1 to 3. We have three consecutive hosts that the last name begins with the letter K.
Are you starting a conspiracy, some KKK conspiracy? Is that what you're doing? Seriously.
True, you're right.
Is that what you're...
I know, I didn't think about that. No, I didn't even think about that.
Okay, well...
I wish you wouldn't have brought that up.
you brought it up.
Kelly, Kirk, wait, Kilmeade, Kirk, Kelly. How about that? Three in a row.
Yes. Nice Irishman. Good
yes.
Irishman. Yeah, Charlie Kirk. I follow Charlie Kirk, by the way, on Twitter. He's brilliant.
You guys love him. You and Matt love him. In fact, you wanted to book him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he's a young, very well...
No, they actually reached out to us.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes,
and,
it was.
But then we were told that, well, whatever. He was
Matt
on a competing
said that
station or something.
He appeals to your demographic, Matt, right?
Yes, and he's knowledgeable. He's almost over-knowledgeable. It's sometimes, it's a great listen. You're going to learn so much. It's almost so much that you can't catch it sometimes. Yeah. But
he's very smart. He's on top of everything. He says all the right things. He's the leader, as Matt points out, of conservative youth on campus and off campus.
Okay.
Again, the guy's a rising star, and to have him here at WABC at noon is one hell of an asset. Squeezed. In between Kilmeade and Kelly, yeah.
Does he like the Mets?
I don't think he's a New York guy.
Oh, God.
He was the guy, remember back in 2018, I believe, it was that in Philadelphia, him and Candace Owens were having lunch.
Yes, they got bum rushed.
Crazies, yeah.
They got bum rushed.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Oh, it was Charlie Kirk, that's right.
There he is, so you can catch him, I guess he starts today.
Today?
Today at noon.
Right after us, Kilmeade, Kirk, Kelly, Lydia, John Katzimatidis, Mark Levin, Bill O'Reilly, Rita Cosby. What a sick lineup.
And Rudy at 3 o'clock, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and all led by Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
Well, yeah, with the Mark
come on,
show.
Everybody come
knows
on.
That. I mean, come on. Without us, you got nothing. With us, you've got a great lineup.
Charlie Kirk. Let's see. I retweeted a lot of his stuff.
Plus, he's Jewish.
I don't know about that.
Maybe I made that up. I don't know. It's really independent.
He's from Illinois.
Here's the last thing I tweeted from him. 20 people were shot. 3 were killed in Chicago since Friday alone. Is it any wonder prominent black leaders like Obama and BLM's co-founders choose to live in Martha's Vineyard and Beverly Hills instead of Chicago? Now, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
That's not brilliant. We've been saying that every day.
To put it out, tweet it out. Brilliant. It's succinct.
It's good.
It's true. You connect the Obamas with the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
The hypocrite, the Marxists. Is that how Marxists live in million-dollar mansions?
No, you're right. But again, it's not news. It's not that Charlie Kirk isn't the first to say that, but it is very.
Why don't you just go along and say?
No, I don't know.
The guy's starting today. Just go. Yeah, that's deep.
Nah, he's fine.
And it's true. Look, Obama just fled Chicago, and
true.
They don't speak anything about. Again, a 1-year-old was shot in the head in Chicago, thanks to Black Lives Matter demonization of the police.
True.
She's living in a $1 million house,
$1.4 million to be exact, in Beverly Hills,
in a white neighborhood.
Yep.
And this kid got shot in the head. A 12-year-old kid was shot on Malcolm X Boulevard in the chest on Saturday, I believe it was. I mean, so these people caused the crime with their policies: defund the police, demonize the police. All this stuff, encouraging violence against police. And who suffers? The kids in these hoods. And meanwhile, Obama, Martha's Vineyard, whatever her name is. What's her name? Kors? Patricia Kors? Yeah. Whatever. The lesbian
Hills.
Marxist lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beverly Hills. So they're exposed to hypocrisy is brilliant. Well, okay.
Well,
it's brilliant. It's obvious.
Right. But where it is brilliant, and it's not exclusive to Charlie Kirk, but maybe to our station, is that all day, all of our talent, starting with you, exposes stuff like that. And it's really the only place you're going to get that on a consistent basis. So Charlie, I would say, is part of a brilliant cast all day long here at Talk Radio 77.
I just grabbed one random retweet.
It's a very good tweet. Yeah.
And also, it came out over the weekend that it got a lot of play initially, this Albion College in Michigan. And you always have to send up a red flag when you see these incidents. Racist graffiti, as they call it, or the NASCAR news hoax, Jussie Smollett hoax, all this stuff. You always have to put up, most of the time, they turn out to be hoaxes. And Albion College, no different. There was graffiti put out, KKK, white power, die N-word, please, plus kill the Jews, stuff like that. And so the Albion College puts out a statement. You know, they go way over the top about how they're sorry and they're outraged and all that, condemn these and that. It turns out it was a black 21-year-old black student that did it.
Of course.
21-year-old black kid. I mean, and yet the college still said, after it was exposed that it was a black kid perpetrating a hoax, they said, but we know the acts of racism that have occurred this week are not about one particular person or one particular incident. We know that there is a significant history of racial pain and trauma on campus, and we are taking action to repair our community, blah, 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 blah. Instead of saying, sorry, we were definitely duped by this punk kid and he's going to get expelled. And he put out anti-Semitic graffiti. He should be charged with a hate crime, too.
Agreed.
Because he killed the Jews. I mean, that's not just a hoax. He put that out there, and he's not a Jew. He could put out the other stuff as a black man and be guilty of a hoax. But if you put out anti-Semitic graffiti, that's not a hoax. You're putting out anti-Semitic graffiti, that's a hate crime.
Couldn't agree more. Beat Bernie coming up next. 1-800-848-WABC. That's your chance to play. Again, at stake here, a $100 gift card and a beautiful Barry House coffee mug. 1-800-848-9222. You versus Bernie McGurk is coming up next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Beat Bernie brought to you by Pete Morgan Fearless Boilers, America's best built boiler. And even as the weather gets warm, don't forget, it'll be cold again before you know it.
No, now's the time to get it, people, because when it's cold, you don't want your boiler to break.
Thank you for that, Matt Meany. Mark is in Queens today, a pharmaceutical sales man. He's our contestant. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Sid. How are you?
I'm well, buddy. You?
Great, great. Never better. Enjoying the weather.
All right. Can you get us free Percocet, Vicodin, and Cialis?
Negative.
Okay.
Unfortunately not. Not without a prescription.
Good north to ask, right? What if John O'Halloran writes the prescription? He's not
unless
a doctor.
He's a certified. No. Won't go.
Not going to happen. All right. Well, good north to ask. Anyway, best of luck in today's game. You know how the game works? Five questions. Bernie Saint, five questions. At stake today, Mark, $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mark. In January of 1990, who was the mayor of the District of Columbia caught on videotape during a sting operation smoking crack cocaine? He was arrested by the FBI officials on drug charges.
Was it Barry?
Yes. Marion Barry. Very good. On May 26th of 1978, the USA's first legal casino outside Nevada was opened by Resorts International in which East Coast city?
Is it Atlantic City?
Yes! Look at you. Until it was abolished in 404 AD, for 300 years prior, gladiators would do battle at what structure located in the city of Rome?
Is it the Parthenon?
No. The Colosseum. I've been there, by the way. It's gorgeous.
Colosseum.
Beautiful. Right, it is. Colosseum is gorgeous. I will say this. I'm not gay. Not even close. But Russell Crowe, Gladiator, I think I'd bang him. He looked that good. Anyway, here's number four. The Camp David Accords established a framework for a historic peace treaty between Israel and Egypt in March of 1979. It was signed by President Jimmy Carter, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, and what Israeli prime minister?
Begin.
Yes!
I think it was Menachem Begin.
Very good. Mark, your chance to go 4 out of 5 and put all the pressure on Bernie to be perfect. Here's your fifth and final question. What is the only U.S. state whose recorded temperature has never dropped below 0 degrees Fahrenheit? The only one.
Florida?
Wrong. That is incorrect. Florida, I got to tell you, I've been to West Palm Beach in December. It's snowing. The answer is Hawaii, but you still got 3 right. You did very, very well. Pressure on Bernie to get at least 4 right to win today's game. So let's get Bernie back in studio. Nice job, Mark.
It's pretty good for a Monday. You know, people wake it up.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Colosseum, yes. The Parthenon, I believe, is in Greece.
It is. It's in Athens. Yes. And the Colosseum, of course, is in Rome, and lions and
but
tigers.
Let's keep that conversation, because here comes Bernie.
Yeah. Hi, Bernard. How are you?
Hello, Sydney.
4 right, and you win today's game, okay?
4 right, okay.
Yeah, I need a massage, man. My neck is bothering me.
Well, look at me, pal.
I know. I mixed edibles and melatonin last night in an attempt to get to sleep early. And
what are you, Bob Kraft?
I mean, I don't know what I am, but my neck hurts me today. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Not that you care. Nobody cares. Nah. Although, you know, I say that nobody cares, and I swear to God, I'm going to get like 50 messages now. With neck,
it's virtue signaling. It's just sucking up, and
yeah, right.
Then they
that's
go
true.
On their about their lives,
no, of
and their business.
I know,
nobody really does care.
I got like 50 already. Happy early birthday, Sids. Happy first day of your birthday.
Good, see that? Good. They got that out of the way.
That's right. Bernie, in January of 1990, who was the mayor of the District of Columbia caught on videotape during a sting operation smoking crack cocaine and was arrested by FBI officials on drug charges?
And he said, the bitch set me up.
That's exactly what he said.
Right.
You're right.
Exactly. Marion Barry.
Yes. That's exactly what he said.
Not Marion Morris.
No.
That was John Wayne.
See what you did there? DMX could have said the same exact thing. The bitch set me up. On March 26th of 1970... Is this 8 or 6? Well, I can't see a damn thing.
Right, so, Sid needs a massage. We already got him hearing aids. That would be 78.
Thank
you. Get you some glasses,
all
too.
Right, thank you. The U.S. city's first legal casino outside Nevada was opened by Resorts International in what East Coast city? After Nevada, what came next?
It was Atlantic City?
Yes!
Of course.
Until it was abolished in 404 A.D., for 300 years prior, gladiators would do battle at what structure located in the city of Roma?
The Staples Center.
That's right.
I believe it was the Colosseum.
That's right. So now, if you get one of these two right, you've won today's game. Feel pretty good about it?
I'm really very nervous, to be quite honest.
I can see. The Camp David Accords established a framework for a historic peace treaty between Israel and Egypt in March of 1979. It was signed by President Jimmy Carter, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, and what Israeli prime minister?
I'd have to say the, was it Begin or was it the other guy? I have to go with Menachem Begin.
Is that your final answer? Correct. Yeah. You already won today's game. You want to go perfect, though? Here's your fifth and final opportunity. What is the only U.S. state whose recorded temperature has never dropped below 0 degrees Fahrenheit? Never in this state.
It would have to be the 50th state, Hawaii.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
Hawaii 5-0, baby.
That's a win for Bernie by a final score of 5-3. Bernie, say hello to Mark from Queens.
Hello, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Bernie? I'm good. It was a pleasure.
It's my pleasure. Mark, do you know that Menachem Begin was part of, a terrorist group called the Irgun?
Yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah. He blew up.
Those guys got the job done, though.
He blew up the Camp David Hotel. Did Menachem, and then he went out to become a prime minister. So he got the job done. He kicked the British out, as I stated here in a previous beat, Bernie, in 1947, and then they declared their independence that day. So how are things out in Queens, Mark?
Dark and gloomy.
Really? What part of Queens are you?
Dark and gloomy. Fresh Meadows.
Sounds so nice. Fresh Meadows.
I know, Fresh Meadows.
Fresh
sounds
Meadows.
Nice, yes.
But
it's like Middle Village sounds kind of nice.
But it's just not. It's, no. Like you said, dark and gloomy. Not only good. Just because of the weather today, but what? What else? What else? What are the other reasons why it's dark and gloomy, Mark?
All of a sudden, we have like homeless people walking on the street. They come up to you. Some of them want to attack you. You know, like I feel like you need to walk around with a weapon these days.
I'm telling you, it's awful. You Fresh Meadows, Queens. My God, it sounds like, an urban utopia.
Yeah.
And yet, this is what Cuomo and de Blasio have done. Mark, I'm sorry about that. I hope you get the hell out, or I hope we turn it around here one way, one or the other. But my thanks to you for playing the game and listening to the Bernie and Sid Show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Mark is a pharmaceutical sales guy, so I asked him for free Percocet, Vicodin, and Cialis, and he said no to all three. Without any hesitation. It wasn't even like, put me on hold, and I'll, you know.
I wonder, do these guys get into that, some of them for that reason? You know what I mean?
Just to get the free pills?
Yeah, I mean, like,
if sell them on the side, you can make some good money.
If you're looking at the choice of career, you know, when you see that.
Yeah.
You're saying, why not? I'll take that in college. I'll major in pharmaceuticals in college, or whatever the hell.
That's what I did. I think I majored in pharmaceuticals.
No, but seriously.
It wasn't my official major, of course.
Right. But you get
the drift, yeah.
You get everything you want.
Everything
and anything you want.
And you know what drug, you know, what effects will, you know, potentially happen with drugs.
You take pharmacology. You're a pharmacist.
You just go on Google. What's the big deal?
True.
So look up Dilaudin and see how it goes for you. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We will close today's show as we do every day. It's become a very popular ending to Bernie and Sid. That is your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid. It's coming up next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
You were the only engineer, friend, and he was there at the right time with the right smile, just to show you that someone will tell you it'll all work out all right. Don't let him steal your heart away. No, don't let him steal your heart away.
Phil Collins, Don't Let Him Steal Your Heart Away, one of his great songs from so many great albums. As we get ready to close out this Monday edition of Bernie and Sid in the Morning, take some phone calls here on the way out. I'm interested in this guy, Michael Manhattan, line 3. Good morning, Michael. How are you, pal?
Sid, buddy, how are you?
How are you?
All right. I'll see you this weekend at the sports club. Remember we made a date?
We made a date at the New York Sports Club.
To work out, yes. You invited me.
I did? I don't remember.
You did.
Well, was this in the street or on the show? Where did this happen, this invitation?
In the sports club. We had a brief hello. You said, come back. We'll work out. I said, no problem. I'll see you in April.
All right. So there it is. So the time is here. I'll see you this weekend.
This weekend. What time? 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock sounds good. I'll be there Saturday.
But no more steam room.
They don't even have one at my place.
The date is off.
Yeah, listen, my place is, I always refer to it, thank you, Michael. I was a member of Equinox on like 92nd and Broadway, fancy place. And my wife was like, we're not going to spend this money on the gym anymore. You'll go someplace else. So I joined New York Sports Club, which is two blocks away. Forget about a steam room. They don't even have one. I don't even know. I think it's shut down now.
I used to go to New York sports clubs. They all had steam rooms.
This is not a fancy one, though. This is like Rocky III. Remember when Apollo Creed is like, we're going back to the basics, Rock.
It's like a ghetto gym, which, by the way, I love ghetto. I worked out in the YMCA in Ghetto Square for many, many years. In my formative years, this is when I first started working out. So I don't mind those types of hardcore.
I prefer it. I got
dirty,
bigger.
Grimy, no air conditioning kind of gyms.
I got bigger since I went to this gym. I prefer it, actually. I mean, I had a great trainer. You know Alex Haynes. Been on the show with us many times. Yeah, yeah. He was a great guy. But I actually prefer the New York Sports Club, the broken down, like you said, half the machines, you know, the bolts are coming out. There's no air conditioning. There's not at all. It's hot as hell in there.
You got ex-cons rolling around saying, yeah, man, I need that.
Yeah, those are my boys.
No, I hear you. That was my experience growing up.
Yeah,
that's my
best
formative years. So when I go back to places like that, I feel very comfortable.
There you go. Gail Bernie is on Staten Island online, too. Good morning, Gail. Hello, Gail. How are you, sweetie? Gail's gone. Let's go to Freddie in the Bronx, line
Wake
one.
Up.
Hello, Fred. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I got a question. I'd like to know, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy these
fantastic
past couple
of weeks? Is he good?
I saw it. Fantastic.
Oh,
terrific.
Great.
Better than, and I like Dr. Oz, but he was better than Dr.
Is that right?
Yes. Very good.
I'm not surprised. You know, he does those commercials with Patrick Mahomes and all those guys, and he seems like a very personable guy,
yes,
and he's involved with all these celebrity women, but he's really that good?
No, he's good. He's a contender. He still plays, I know, so he can't.
He still plays. He won the MVP this year.
But then
year.
Again, they tape that stuff. You know, they could work around his schedule.
Yeah.
You know, he could tape in the offseason.
Of course.
But bottom line is, he's really good.
So who's a better game show host? By the way, I'm dying to do a game show, but that's a whole other story. Which
you
I do
beat Bernie,
day.
Bro. Yeah.
That's true. That is a radio game show. But who is a better TV game show host? Aaron Rodgers in his stint here on Jeopardy? Or Mike Strahan doing $20,000 Pyramid?
Michael Strahan isn't really good at much. I mean, he's personable. He's okay.
He's not Aaron Rodgers.
No. I mean, no.
You know, Matt just
Michael
said him
Strahan, he's boring.
He's boring, yeah.
He's boring.
Now he fixed a gap in his tooth.
No, that was a April Fool's joke.
Oh, okay. So in my ear, Matt Meany just mentioned Louis Anderson. He may join us this week. He's the actor, comedian, the fat guy. So he was the only white guy that was allowed to be in Coming to America 1 and 2. But I did bring up last time he was on, I told him right to his face, I go, you know, you may have been the worst Family Feud host ever. I mean, not even may have been. You were the worst family. And he was so happy about that. He took ownership of that. Like, if Richard Dawson was the best or Steve Harvey was the best, at least I'm the worst. Like,
yeah.
I'm not in the middle like you know, John O'Hurley.
A lot of people apparently said no before they got to Louis Anderson. But they did they got to this dude now. He's the best.
Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey's great.
He's not better than Richard Dawson, though.
I think he is.
Dawson used to kiss every woman up and down the thing.
So what?
Something to it.
Steve Harvey is funny.
You couldn't do that
in
today's
funny,
Me
man.
Too.
Yo, that's funny, man. That's
he
funny
is
right
funny.
There.
Yeah, he's okay. Here you go. You're pandering again.
I'm not.
If
see,
he was
I'm
a white
pandering.
Guy, if he was white and Jewish, he'd be okay. Now he's brilliant.
When I criticize black people or whatever, I criticize them from the heart. Not out of any malice. When I praise them, I praise it because, again, I'm colorblind. I judge people from the content of their performance and character. I'm a Martin Luther King guy. Listen, we've gotten away from Martin Luther King. Now it's all about the color of your skin.
I agree.
What
we don't like that
belong
stuff.
To. No, we're all about we're about individuality. Steve Harvey is great.
Okay, fair enough. DMX, not great.
No, he was okay, but the media is way overdoing it with DMX.
He's a lowlife.
Way overdoing it.
God rest his soul, he was a lowlife. We're done for today. We hope you enjoyed the Monday edition. No one's more honest than us. I'm sorry. We got a great show coming your way tomorrow starring the great Bo Dietl. So until tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. from all of us to all of you folks, enjoy a Monday in New York City. Peace!